Would you pray with me, please? Holy God, I want to thank you for this community of faith. I want to thank you for your presence here. May it fall afresh on us this day. Amen. Rabbi Harold Kushner tells a story about a Roman Catholic nun who says her mother had a vigil light and a statue of Saint Anthony that she used in prayer. And when she didn't get what she wanted, she would blow out the light and turn Saint Anthony to the wall. And when she got what she wanted, back out he'd come again and she'd light the candle. Well, no matter what our opinion is of praying with saints, there is something telling about human nature in this story. In our passage for today, Jesus says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Yet, like the story of the nun's mother, we know that we do not always get what we ask for in prayer. So how are we to understand these words? In spite of easy misinterpretation, I've always loved this passage. These words hold such a beautiful promise about our relationship with God. And Jesus elaborates on this promise by saying, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if asked for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So I want to focus today on what it looks like to ask of God and what these good gifts are that we can expect to receive. So let's begin by looking at the concept of prayer, the asking of God, if you will. C.S. Lewis, one of the most famous atheists turned Christian, shares this story about prayer. He was scheduled to have his hair cut one afternoon in anticipation of a speaking engagement, which ended up being canceled. So he decided that he would also postpone his haircut. But soon thereafter, he heard a voice in his head saying to him, "Get out all the same, go and get it cut." And so he decided to go on to the barbershop. When he walked in the door, a man immediately said to him, "I was praying that you might come in today." Lewis explains that if he had waited even a few days to go get his hair cut, he would not have been of any use to this gentleman. Now, he admits that this could have been coincidence. He admits that there is no way to prove that he was sent by God as an answer to this man's prayer. But he nonetheless also admits, "I was awed by it." During his atheist years, Lewis said he was perpetually mad at God for not existing. And here in this story, he tells how he clearly felt the experience of a living God, this God who seemed to use him to answer someone else's prayer. Perhaps some of you have had similar experiences, unexplainable yet profound experiences of God, either of having your prayers answered or of being used by God to answer someone else's prayer. These moments cannot be predicted. They cannot be anticipated. And when they do come, our interpretation is always and necessarily a matter of faith. The power of prayer cannot be proven any more than the mysterious presence of God can be measured, but we know that it is true nonetheless. As a community of faith, we regularly pray for one another and for our church, and we have witnessed many answers to prayers, some of them miraculous. Yet, as we have already said, we know from experience that not all of our petitions are granted. So what might be the meaning of these words, "Ask and you shall receive"? As I was pondering this question, I was at dinner table with my family, and I asked my 10-year-old daughter, Sarah, "Do you think parents should give their children everything that they ask for?" And a little surprisingly, she said, "No." And I said, "Why not?" And she said, because then they would turn out to be a brat. And so we proceeded to discuss what happens when we get everything that we want, and we laughed about the example from the movie Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Do you remember the character Baruka? Well, Baruka's wealthy father attempted to give her everything that she desired. And when Willy Wonka put these golden tickets in the chocolate bar, he hired a whole factory full of workers to open up the chocolate bars until they found her that golden ticket. And throughout the movie, Baruka's refrain was, "But Daddy, I want it now." My daughter does that impression much better than I do. As parents, we recognize the importance of not giving our children everything that they desire, and we try to set some limits. But sometimes we fail to recognize when our children need us to say no to them. So whether in life or in prayer, there seems to be something right and good about us not getting everything that we ask for. After all, if every single time we ask God for something, no matter how trivial it was granted, how long do you think it would take for us to make idols out of ourselves? Prayer is not magic, and God is not Santa Claus. However, what if the thing that we do not receive is something more important than a golden ticket or an open parking spot when we're running late? What if we ask and we seek and we knock with all of our heart and the cancer returns anyway? Or the abuse continues or our marriage fails? These events can seriously challenge our faith if we misunderstand Jesus' words. For example, I know a young woman whose child was born with a serious illness. She prayed fervently, trusting that if she had just enough faith in God, that God would heal her child. But it was not to be. And in her deep pain, she stopped not only believing in prayer, but believing in God. She eventually returned to her faith, but it took quite some time. This young woman's experience of losing a child reminded me of Kay Harvey's final sermon that she shared with us just a few weeks ago. She talked about her daughter Leslie and her illness and death. And although both of these women lost a child, Kay's experience was different because she didn't turn away from God, but she leaned into God in those painful moments. And she testified to the many good gifts that God gave her in spite of the fact that her deepest prayer was not answered. Gifts of comfort and strength, gifts of community and faith, gifts that helped resurrect her when she was unable to stand on her own. God's grace was sufficient. Kay preached truth to us from the depth of her soul and from the depth of this experience, that God is real and God is love, even when we don't get what we want. So I believe that God always answers our prayers with good gifts. And this passage instructs us to knock so that the door may be opened. And interestingly, one commentator compared this passage to an ancient beggar's creed. It said, "Keep asking and seeking and knocking until you receive." I had all kinds of reactions to this idea and what it might imply. And for some reason, that image would not let go of me, but it took me a while to understand my mixed feelings. I immediately liked the humility that this image elicited, and I even liked that it emphasized the need for persistence. However, the idea of begging was foreign to me. I, like most of you, have never been in a situation to have to beg for anything. So coming to God as a beggar is an uncomfortable thought. In fact, deeply uncomfortable, I discerned, because it highlights the very thing that we who are privileged do not want to acknowledge: our powerlessness and our utter dependence upon God and even upon other people. We don't have much practice at this, and that made me uncomfortable. Indeed, we are sometimes even uncomfortable asking our neighbor to help us out when we get in a bind. We want to be self-sufficient. So in prayer, part of it is coming to terms with our limitations. And then praise God, knowing that we are not alone. Prayer, it seems, is really nothing less than our search for and our discovery of God. It seems to me maybe this is what Jesus is promising. What a promise. Can you imagine any greater gift than that? The writer of the 73rd Psalm says it this way: "As for me, nearness to God is my good." So more than anything in life, we need God with us. Each of us knows that no matter our circumstances, there is a place in our heart that only God can fill. As St. Augustine put it, our hearts are restless until they rest in thee. Yesterday, Bishop Spain and I presided over the funeral for Fran Dixon, a member of our beloved Robert I. Moore class. And as we were driving away from the cemetery, I saw a quote from the poet Alfred Tennyson that aptly proclaimed, "More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of." Indeed, many prayers are answered, many petitions are granted, and the world is forever changed. There is a great power in prayer. Therefore, let us ask, let us seek, let us knock, knowing that when we do, we are always brought nearer to the kingdom of God. In the end, I can't explain why some prayers are answered in a miraculous way and others are not. That is only God's to know. So I'm urging us today to not reduce prayer to whether or not the petition is granted. We certainly cannot offer any adequate theological or philosophical explanation for the power of prayer. We can't scientifically prove it. But when we experience it, we know that it is real. And when this happens, our questions have a tendency to melt away. Rabbi Kushner explains it this way: "I think we can all learn to pray like this, trusting that when we reach the borders of our own strength and cunning, God will take us by the hand and lead us unafraid into new and uncharted territory. Although we may not get that miracle, we get a sense of being in God's presence, and that can put both our victories and our tragedies in a different perspective. Jesus taught us how to pray. Jesus taught us to seek God, and if we do, we will find God. Jeremiah 29:13 says it this way: "When you seek me, you will find me, if you seek me with all of your heart." So let us go forth seeking God with all of our heart and mind and soul and strength. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.